Welcome to Choosing Leadership, a podcast for high performers with big dreams and for leaders who know that they are more powerful than the level that they are currently playing. I am Sumit Gupta, your host and the founder CEO of the Deploy Yourself School of Leadership. I am here to help the best leaders get better and to help organizations massively improve their output and impact, and at the same time, eradicating workplace stress. Yes. Completely eradicating, not just reducing, completely eradicating. I believe in creating a future and a work culture where people wait for Mondays, not Fridays, and get to do their most meaningful work. The aim of this podcast is not to provide you more content, but instead shift the context under which you operate. This podcast is titled Choosing Leadership because that is what leadership is, a choice. In each episode, I will celebrate leaders who have made such choices, which are not always easy and comfortable, but which has helped them get to where they are today. And let us celebrate the leader in us for choosing to move over our fears, for choosing to be motivated by something bigger than ourselves, and for choosing to deal with every challenge that comes on the way. Let us celebrate you right now for stepping into the unknown and taking courageous action, as those were the moments when you chose leadership. At the end, I will share how you can be our next guest on this podcast. And with that, let's get started. Rupesh is the founder and CEO at Arikth International. In the interview, Rupesh shares his transformative journey from coding to founding a 100-plus strong company. He emphasizes the pivotal role of purpose, highlighting his commitment to being a developer-first company. He dives into the challenges of cultural differences and the power of saying no. He unveils his leadership philosophy, advocating for empathy, rebellion, and courage. Hi, Rupesh. Welcome to the Choosing Leadership podcast.
Hi, Sumit. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to have you here with us. Why don't you start by sharing a little bit about yourself and what keeps you busy these days?
So, I am a CEO and founder of Arikth International. We started this company 3 years before. It's an IT services company where our tagline is a developer-first company. And we are into IT services, mainly into application development, cloud migration, cloud-native development, artificial intelligence, and IT security.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And you have been a developer all your life. Right. That's what you told me just before we started. So can you share how did entrepreneurship became an option for you? Like, where did that, how did your journey from being a developer led you to desire you to start a company of your own?
Yeah, as a developer, what we do is we always build new things. And what when we are building things, we are basically, that's mainly to solve a problem. And that was my approach, that being a developer, I truly believe in the power of IT and how it impacts our life and how it solves the problems of our life. And when I was a developer, I was doing that. I was thinking, how can I bring it on a larger scale? And being a developer by heart, also, I think that developers need guidance to become a good developer, because when you go out and the first 10 developers which you meet and ask them, do you want to become a good developer? And everybody will say yes. But majority of them has no clue what a good development means. It's not writing if-else statement that anybody can write, search on Ask ChatGPT or Stack Overflow. It's much more than that. It's about testability of your code, maintainability, scalability. And I think I have learned it in a tough way. There's not enough guidance for me. I thought maybe I can be the guiding force for all the developers who really want to make a mark. And at the same time, believing in IT has basically helped me towards my entrepreneurial journey.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you started right in the middle of the pandemic, right? So is there a connection there? Is there a thread which led you to do it at that point of time?
No, it was just the timing or coincidence. I was, from past couple of years, I was looking to start something. And in May 2020, I got the first project to do it. And then, but it was pandemic. It was the first wave. Old world was hit by it. And almost everything in the world stopped. And I was like, how this is one opportunity I was looking from many years and I got it, and how can I let it go? So there were difficulties. I was stuck in Netherlands, but we still started, and there the willpower came from. There were many problems, many challenges, but we solved them one by one. We started our operations in 15th June 2020. So pandemic was a kind of a challenge for us, but that taught us a lot. And the change whole perspective of working.
Yeah. And can you share a bit about the journey so far? Because I think you are 100+ company now. So what were like one or two tough choices that you had to made on the way, or like big challenges that you had to face and overcome?
Actually, now we are above 100 people. We have two offices in Hyderabad and the third office in Amsterdam. The challenges were quite a lot, but on a different, we have operational challenges, especially a pandemic, supply chain challenges when you are going to order monitors, laptops. You'll never know when it is going to be delivered and all. But those were different kind of challenges. And also starting up a company and convincing your new clients that, hey, you have to trust on me, you know, especially an Indian company. That was a big challenge. When we got the project, then the cultural gap between India and Netherlands was a challenge. And we took each challenge one by one and we tried our best to solve it. The underlying principle was, there are a few common underlying principles in all the challenges we solved was, first, we will try our best to solve it. We'll be honest. We'll give it an honest attempt to solve it. And then if every challenge has a different nature, so we took it like operational challenge. We solved it by sending someone, a good acquaintance of mine, to Hyderabad to take care of it. But cultural challenge was, it took some time to realize that how can we solve it. And it was coaching our people from day one, that what is Netherlands all about, what are the expectations, what are the gaps, how we can mitigate it, or how we can come close to it. Dutch mindset, we all know it, it's quite frank. No. So working in a Dutch way is we incorporated as a part of our learning and onboarding. And that's where we were able to solve that one.
Yeah. And personally for you, how was that journey from being a developer to being an entrepreneur? Because now you're not just responsible for your own like health or well-being or productivity, but also for bringing in customers, making sure the customers' relationships are happy, making sure that hiring is going on well, your employees are happy. I think that's suddenly playing on a very different level. How was that for you?
That journey has been fantastic. I have enjoyed, I'm still enjoying every single bit of it. That requires first your full dedication and different sets of commitments and skills. But I have enjoyed every single bit of it. There was a lot of hard work involved, especially in the beginning, there are different kinds of hard work. And later, when the business is growing, then different challenges were there. But that has given me, every time when I was working hard work, we hit with a problem, that gave me extra motivation to solve it and go ahead. So journey has been fantastic. I've enjoyed it. And if anybody wants to become an entrepreneur, just do it. You will enjoy it. That would be my suggestion.
Yeah. And can you give an example of one such pivotal moment which was difficult for you in the beginning? And then what did you learn? How did you grow as a result?
There were many pivotal moments. In the beginning, my thought was, if I'll be able to build a nice development team, it is a success recipe of success, then we'll do it. But then later I realized that just technology and focusing on the technology is not enough for the success of our teams and our company. And other things do play a very big role in the cross-cultural collaboration. For example, soft skills. But your mindset, what is your mindset? Expectations management. So that we focused more when we learned with this. That was also, that was one of the great learning for us.
Yeah. And can you share a bit more about what were the mindset challenges that you had to shift, or the cross-cultural challenges, and what it required to deal with those?
Yeah, see, in India, we both come from India and we have lived in Netherlands also for quite some time. In India, the whole workforce and the mindset of employee towards their superiors, towards the client is completely different now. It's more like a hierarchy, and it's in the mindset. When I did some analysis, then why it is like this. For example, when I was hiring people and they're calling me sir, it was quite opposite to in Netherlands, and everyone is equal. So when I try to understand why it is like this, so it's in our upbringing, it's in our, the way in India we it is brought up. He has to face that hierarchy in family. You have to listen to your parents. At school, you have to listen to your teacher, and that's how, and then when you come to company, your boss is, and that's why we call it sir. Where in Netherlands, it was completely opposite. They are taught equal or being upfront and frank since childhood, and that also translates into their professional roles. So that was a very big challenge in the beginning, because even if you're hiring good resources, experienced resources, somewhere in the mind, when they're talking to their counterpart in Netherlands, it was a gap and they were seeing them as a higher level. And that required some coaching and training for them to make them realize that you are equal. It is just another team member who is sitting over 1,000 miles away and you need to work with them.
Mm.
So that was the main cultural gap. So we
okay.
Do it. Then sharing things up front or sharing. The Dutch people are very good in planning their days and the weeks and even the years. Some of them even plan their holidays 6 months in advance. Where in India, we are completely opposite, right? The number of leaves were like every Monday morning, I was seeing that number of leaves was applied very late, even if they're entitled to it. And that also, we try to change it a lot by coaching them, but also by putting some restriction into HRMS and all. And one thing which I'd like to add is the power of saying no, which was also very important for my colleagues to brought in them. Because just by saying that, hey, you can say no, was not working out because it was not making effect. So we had to really use different moments, different initiatives to make them realize that no's are more powerful than yes's. And that was also a challenge in the beginning.
Mm.
But now we have in a kind of a very important part of in our training program, it will make someone realize it with different examples, but also different games and something that how no's are powerful. Now speaking your mind and heart and saying no, if you don't agree to something, is how powerful is it?
Perfect. Thank you. So coming now to the present moment, can you share what are your dreams or what are your vision for the next few years?
The vision is we want to keep growing exponentially the way we have been grown in year 2023 and earlier years. In 2023, we achieved 100% growth, and that we also want to continue. But we also want to expand into other European markets. Very soon, we are going to open an office in Spain. Belgium and Germany are our targets, and we'll try to open our market or in Belgium and Germany. Mm-hmm. But in Spain, we are going to open an office very soon.
And what do you see that could be some of the biggest challenges or roadblocks on the way for you?
Challenges are, venturing the new market, especially when you are new, then why people should believe you? That's the first biggest challenge we're facing. And once they believe in us, then delivering on what we have promised is always has been a challenge, but that we have been delivering it. So new markets comes up with new languages and new cultural gaps, and those will be challenges we'd like to overcome.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So coming back to your role, right? How has your role changed in the last 3 years? And how do you think it will change as you take your organization into the multiple hundreds of people and so on?
That's the beauty of entrepreneur journey, that you have to do almost everything. So in past 3 years, I have done HR, recruitment, financing, related to work, developer, of course. So the role is work-wise, you have to, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you should be ready to do all kinds of work if required. But the role has changed. Earlier, I was just an individual contributor or individual guy. Now it's more like a leadership role and making sure that all departments of the organization run in a full efficient mode. People are happy. People feel safe at the workplace. They feel rewarded. They see potential in their personal. And maintaining that is my role for now. And I always say that leaders are the ones who create leaders. Hmm. So we have many leaders in our company, but creating and nurturing more talents and more leaders is a main part of my job now.
Yeah, and is that something that that you're learning on the job, or is that something you have learned even from your previous experiences? Can you share a bit more about like that grooming people, developing leaders, as you were talking about?
Mostly I have learned it on the job because it was the requirement, but it was my personal also. I always wanted to teach. I have been teacher in my past. When I was in 12th grade, I was teaching the students of 8th grade. When I was working, I was teaching poor kids for IIT, JEE, all free, of course. But teaching has been my passion. And when I became an entrepreneur, it was an extension of it. Coaching is an extension of teaching. So it's both. I always loved coaching and teaching. Mm-hmm. And when I started, then it was on a bigger scale. Now I have to coach around 100 people.
Yeah, yeah. And how does that look like in practice, right? What is it specifically that you do, let's say for yourself or the key members of your team, so that they develop, they grow, and that the organization also continues to operate efficiently in the meantime?
Yeah, I don't know whether there is a formula for it, but it's all about, first start with the intention. And it start with not sympathy, empathy. You have to feel for other people. So when I even talk to my people, leads especially, who was in leadership role, one thing I tell them that you should feel for your people. If you're considering yourself even a leader, you should feel for them first, what they must be feeling in that situation. Try to put yourself. So that I try to tell them, and first feel for them, but also all have I learned by myself. I have not done any management. So that I'm telling from my experience. So leadership has to be empathetic, has feel for people. But you also should be rebellious. You should be courageous enough to even to disagree to things. And if he thinks the idea is not good, then he should just put his foot down. Or other way around also. If he or she thinks this idea is very good, and should be able to put down. Should be rebellious. And it should be a little bit tough with his people. Tough in the sense not... I tell them that, hey, your people, their future is in your hand. They might not realize it, but you realize it. If you make them, give them right guidance, and if they become good professionals, then they are going to excel in life, no matter wherever they are, they work. And that you can make them. They don't know it, but you know it, that you can make their whole life very good. And if their career becomes very good, then maybe their family will also get benefited from it.
Yeah.
So empathy, rebellion, they have rebellious, but they also get a little bit, tough. Because a leader cannot make everyone happy every single time. And I give them example of all sorts of leaders. In India also, all sorts of parties also. And you should be courageous enough to take the decision. Not always you can say that this will result in out. Be it Mr. Modi or Prime Minister or Rahul Gandhi or Kejriwal. And take any leader. One of the common qualities which I see in them is they are leading, so they take calls also. They take decisions. And not every decision will be very good. But you should be courageous enough to take a call. Mm-hmm. And these things I try to coach to our people.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think entrepreneurship itself is a courageous step. And one thing which any kind of courage needs is a very strong grounding or belief or trust in oneself. Can you share how have you built your own trust in yourself that has allowed you to take courageous decisions?
That you are right. An entrepreneur must be true to himself and true to his dreams and vision. And I do get many requests by people that, hey, how did you become an entrepreneur? How did you crack this? And my answer to this is, no, it's not like formula, you crack it. And your entrepreneurial journey has to be driven by purpose. You must find your purpose. What purpose are you trying to solve? Most of the people who I met, I realized that they want to become entrepreneur because of the wishes. They want to become wealthy or they want to become famous. But that's not, I think, how it works. You need to, your journey has to be purpose-driven. You must find your purpose. If you don't have it, might take some time. Take your time to find the purpose. And that's first. Second is make your base strong. To serve the purpose, do you have all these qualities to do it? Do you have that skills? Do you have that knowledge? Do you have that commitment to do the how? Do you have the time to do it? If you not, then go back to the drawing board and see how can you make time. Find your purpose. Make your plans very good. Arrange your financials, because when you're going to start the entrepreneurial journey, for the first few years, it is going to be tough. So You should arrange your financials. And once you are ready with these three things, then I would say jump. Then don't think too much whether it will be a success or not. If you're believing in it, and if you work hard, the chances are very high that it will become a success.
Yeah. So can you share what is the underlying purpose for you behind everything that you're doing? And how did you create that grounding then that allows you to take courageous steps?
Thank you. The purpose is simple. A developer first company. We have put it in our slogan also, Arik International, a developer first company. And it's in our name also. People ask me, what is meaning of Rikt means, Rikt is an Hindi word, which means vacuum. When I was studying in a school, we used to get question and question paper, Rikt sthan ki purti kare, which means fill in the blanks. Rikt means something which fills that blank, fills that vacuum. We are here to fill the vacuum of gap. There's a big gap between quality being expected by the companies and the quality being delivered. And we are here to fill that quality gap. The purpose is simple. We are a developer-first company, a company run by the developers, of the developers, for the developers, where we guide our, train our developers that how to write good code and build applications and gain knowledge. And they will eventually write a good code and then the project becomes successful. So that's our underlying purpose, a developer-first company, where if anybody wants to become a good developer, they can join us. And no matter where they're standing now, as long as they have the intention to do it and the will to do the hard work, they are going to be successful.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Rupesh. Right? And just before we wrap it up, no entrepreneur's journey is without setbacks or without stress. So how do you deal with those pressure moments when things get a bit too much? How do you make sure that you take care of yourself so that then you can take care of everybody in your organization?
Thanks, Sumit, for asking that question because it's very important. Like you said it, every entrepreneur journey will be with setbacks, pressure moments, stress, and that also we get it. I get it personally as well. When we get setbacks, I go back to the basics of the why I started this. And that gives me power that are we doing what we started for this? Is our people happy? Are we doing our clients happy, the existing ones? And that answer, when you get yes, then we are happy. Then we deal with the setbacks and we will start again and stand up. But being healthy and keeping one's health healthy is very important. Each one of us. So being healthy, find your moment to work out, to give relax to your mind is very important. That also I try to do. I try to take some break every interview, and that I would suggest it to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. And before we wrap this up, what is the best way for anybody who might be listening to reach out to you or to find out more about what you are up?
They can connect me through LinkedIn or my Twitter account and just post your message. And my email address is rkumar@arik.com. So I reply to all my LinkedIn messages and emails and Twitter messages. So do reach out to me if you have any question. And I'll try my best to help you out.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rupesh, for doing what you're doing and everything that you shared today. I will make sure to include those links with the show notes. And as we end this, I would like to wish you all the best for everything that lies ahead.
Thank you very much, Sumit, for having me. It was really nice talking to you.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. That's it for this episode of Choosing Leadership with Sumit Gupta. I choose leadership every time I record this podcast, and I invite you to do the same. I invite you to design a life of joy, meaning, pride, and satisfaction, not just for yourself, but for everybody around you. If you got something out of this episode, would you share this episode on social media? And if you know somebody who would be a great guest, can you tag them on social media to let them know about the show? And if you are a leader who wants to acknowledge how far you have come and have big dreams for the future, please reach out to me to be a guest on this podcast. And I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. This is what I do most naturally, to lovingly and gently provoke you, to help you see your own light, to help you see what you are already capable of. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to deployyourself.com and subscribe to my newsletter or follow me on LinkedIn. I want to thank everyone who contributed to making this show a reality. And I want to thank you for listening. Always remember that you are enough, you are loved, and you matter. This is Sumit. Until next time, keep choosing leadership.